Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God. My name is Pastor Marquise, and we are a non-denominational church led by the living and active Word of God in the heart of Seattle, Washington, by Pastors Harold and Annis Faye Franklin. Whether this is your first time, second time, be sure to subscribe and share this with those that need it. Now join me and be ready to live and learn from the Word of God.
All right. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Well, say it like you mean it. Praise the Lord. Praise Amen. The Lord. It's a good day. As the Word of God says, or as the church people say, this is the day that the Lord has made, and the Word of God says, I will rejoice and be glad. Amen. I'm just glad to make it through this week. Been battling a little cold this week, and I'm winning. That's what you got to remember all the time. Every time you battle a cold, you win. So I just thank God for that. And we're going to pray and get right in to this series. Amen. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, I just thank you, dear God, for another day. Dear God, that we are here, dear God, to gather, oh God, to study your word, dear God, to be encouraged by your word, to encourage one another and lift each other up, oh God. Dear God, we pray, dear God, that you would speak even beyond the words that I speak, oh God, that your spirit would speak to me so that I can speak everything you want me to speak clearly. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody said, amen, amen. Well, as I said, this is going to be a series, and I'm ready for this series. You guys ready? It was exciting. I was excited just preaching about it last week. We talked about what do you believe? And my wife wasn't here, so we're going to do a quick recap for her. Is that all right? That's all right. I said your beliefs will determine the life you live and the things you pursue in life. How many know that to be true? Because one of the crazy things is if you don't believe in yourself, you won't do certain things, right? If I don't believe that I'm good at even something that's like driving. It's funny we got you two in here about driving. But my wife has her license, but she'll have a lot of excuses for not driving, right? And I don't even want to use that example. Let's use an example like speaking in front of people. Some people believe that they're not good enough to speak in front of other people. Others will critique some people that they think that speak in front of people that are not that good. You know, like we look at even some of the presidents. If you listen to some people talk about how they actually are able to talk in front of people, some of them are good and some of them are not great speakers. But they're the president. 90% of their job is to speak in front of people. Well, I hate to say that. A lot of their job requires them to speak in front of people. But if the president said, I don't believe that I'm good enough to speak in front of people, therefore, I don't believe that I'm good enough to become president, he wouldn't even try to become that, right? So sometimes, because of our belief system, even believing in ourselves, we miss out on what God wants us to do because we think we're not good enough. In the Bible, there's plenty of people that say, I'm not good enough. I can't do that. Gideon, I preached about him not too long ago, saying, hey, man, I'm the least of the least. Why are you trying to get me to lead all these people? I'm not even a leader. But guess what? God called him to be a leader. And at the end, he was a believer that he was a leader. Amen. So everyone believes something, like I said last week, whether they know it or not. A lot of people can believe many different things, and some people don't even know what they believe. Have you ever asked somebody, hey, what do you believe? And they're like, I don't know. What do you believe about God? I don't know. They really know. They may not know how to speak it, but their actions will show how they believe. Amen? So we all believe in something. And not only the only thing about belief, God has to change our belief system. We are born into sin. Sin, we believe in sin. Even though it sounds crazy, we believe in sin. That's why we do it, right? If sin comes knocking at your door, if you believe in that sin, you will open the door. That's why it's very important that we believe in God and believe that sin is sin. Amen. We talked about Thomas and his belief system where he had to see it to believe it. But God is, he even said in that scripture that blessed are those who believe and still have not even seen. Some of us want proof every time, right? God brought you out of something last week. Now you're like, God, I don't know if I believe in you, God. I need you to come through this time, right? You should believe God because he's already did it. You should believe that God is God because of the relationship that you have. Amen. The other thing I talked about was the constant battle of disbelief, or even the battle to believe that the disciples faced. I talked about Jesus feeding the 4,000 pretty much like 2 weeks after, and we don't know how long it is, but in the Bible, it's like two chapters, maybe not even two chapters. But after he fed the 5,000, and they said, Jesus, how can we do this? We don't know how we can do this. And Jesus did it, right? A couple chapters later, they're at another place, and Jesus says, we got to feed these 4,000 people. And what did the disciples say? How can we do this? It's like, man, you don't remember? I might have been one of the disciples that, like, hey, hold up, man. Don't you remember Jesus just fed 5,000? Like, he just did that. And you asking how we going to feed? It would have been like, hey, go get all the scraps. You know, somebody got some fish. Somebody got some pieces of chicken this time. You know what I'm saying? Somebody got some biscuits. You know what I'm saying? Some cornbread, whatever. Let's get it all together. Let Jesus pray over it. And we can have a great Thanksgiving. Amen. And it wasn't Thanksgiving. I'm just saying, you know, we can eat because Jesus is able to multiply. But the disciples still had an issue believing. Amen. And I say that so we can learn from it. Some of us have issues believing God in our own life. There's things that we're praying, God, I need you to do this, God, or we've been praying for some things for a long time, and after a while, the heart grows faint, and you're just wondering, oh, God, are you going to do this? I would love a new house, but God, it's looking kind of shabby right now. I don't know if it's going to happen, right? But your belief, not only is it important to believe and know that you believe, but your belief is going to be challenged. Amen? The last thing I talked about last week was, what do you believe about God? And we're going to pick up here as well. But what do we believe about God? Our belief in God as believers is very important. Amen. We have to believe what the Word of God says about our God. Amen. We live in a day and an age where there's so much confusion, so much strife, so much fighting about who people believe God is, but the Word of God has pointed it out for us. Amen. Last week I talked about God being the creator and a designer, not only a designer, but also a leader. We went through Genesis chapter 1 and talking about we have to be excited about what God created. When God saw us, he said it was good. Amen. Not only did he, and it's funny because even when we make some stuff, sometimes we don't even say it's good. Oh, that was all right. How was that cornbread you made last week? Oh, it was okay. Man, it better be good next time. Right? It better. Monica, how was that cheesecake, those mini cheesecakes? It was good. Monica would be like, yeah, it was good. You better, you know, it's me. Right? Why? Because we know that it was good. Without a shadow of a doubt, we know that it was good. And that's how God looks at us when he created us. He said we were good. Now, the hard thing is us believing what God said. Sometimes we want to change it. I talked about that last year. We want to change what God has did and called good. We want to change that. But the Word of God says we have to believe what he says. Amen. So this is where we are today. Believing in God. And God is a God of love and a teacher. All right. So we're going to look at that in John chapter 3, verse 1. And this we're going to run into the huge Bible scripture that everybody knows about, which is John 3:16, right? But we're going to look in this passage and see some things about God that we must believe as believers. Amen? Hallelujah. It says, John chapter 3, verse 1, it says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. Now, let's be careful to see who this guy is. He is a leader, right? He's a ruler. Not only is he a ruler, he's a Pharisee, all right? So he is supposed to be a studier of the scriptures. And this is something that they're supposed to believe, right? Now, it's interesting, like, we look at people today, scholars. I don't know if we can say, well, there's a whole bunch of scholars, right, in today's age. There's people that study the scripture, but all these people did was study the Bible. They looked over it. Oh, that was interesting. Okay, let's keep on. Their job was to go over the scriptures over and over, right? That was their job. So Jesus is actually going to show him even some of the stuff that they studied. Now, watch what he calls Jesus, because when we think about believing in God, we have to see what they call Jesus here, okay? It says, this man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi. What does rabbi mean? Teacher. He says, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. All right, so what do we see right away? God is a teacher, and he actually didn't call him God right there. He said, you must be from God, just like a good prophet, right? So he's still trying to figure out who Jesus is in this situation. But he also says he sees what God is able to do. God is a powerful God. He says, the signs you do, nobody can do it unless God is with you, right? Jesus answered and said to you, said to him, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? All right. Now, I think that's a logical question that we would have all asked, because at that moment, nobody knew what born again was. Right. Now we got people, oh, I'm born again. I'm saved, sanctified, and delivered. Why? Because we got the Bible and we could back it up and hoop and holler about it. Amen. But he didn't know what this was. And people, they'll look at Nicodemus and point at him and say, man, shame on him. How come he didn't know, right? But the good thing about Nicodemus that we have to learn from, if you don't know something about God, ask him. Nicodemus at least asked the question. And Jesus answered. Somebody say answered. What do we got to believe about God? He will answer. Okay? And I'm just going through this and looking at some of the different things. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The winds blow where it wishes, and you hear the sounds of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. All right. So Jesus breaks down. Not only is it born again, he wasn't talking about just being born again. He was talking about being born of the Spirit and living in the Spirit. We had an interview today talking about our new album, Renovation, on SLS Radio. And one of the questions was, why should we walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh? Or why does the enemy not want us to walk in the Spirit, right? So even in this scripture right here, it says that which is spirit walks in the Spirit. What is born of the flesh walks in the flesh. So there's a difference. And because of that difference, the devil wants you to walk in the flesh, right? The devil, his job is to keep you in the flesh, because if he keeps you in the flesh, he got you where he wants you to be. But once we are born again, We no longer walk in the flesh. We walk in the spirit. And that's what born again is really about. Because we are all born in the flesh, right? Jesus said you must be born again. So he wasn't talking about being born inside this flesh again. He was talking about being born in the spirit and producing a life in the spiritual realm. So we have to, when we think about being born again, it's all about the spiritual. And because of the spiritual, it will change what you do in your natural. Amen. So let's keep on going. It says, Nicodemus answered and said to him, how can these things be? Jesus answered. Once again, Nicodemus asked the question and said to him, are you the teacher of Israel and do you not know these things? So not only is Jesus a teacher, he's a teacher of teachers. Okay? Can I see that? He's like, you're a teacher. Now, he didn't say Mr. Nicodemus or nothing like that. But that was his occupation. He was a teacher of the law. And Jesus said, most assuredly, I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I told you earthly things and you did not believe, and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven. That is the Son of Man who is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. That whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. All right? I'm going to stop right there. I'm going to keep on going in a second. It is our job to believe in God. Not only does Jesus explain to him what's going to happen to Jesus, he explains the death, burial, and the resurrection right there. He says, I have to be lifted up like the snake was in the wilderness. Now, it's interesting, like Jesus referred to himself like a snake. Is that what he's saying? He says, no, but if you look at the story of Moses, when the people were dying, God instructed Moses to make a cross and put the snake on it, right? And whoever looks upon a snake would be healed. Now, some people still don't believe in healing, but Jesus said he will be lifted up just like that snake. Amen? And the same result where people's lives were saved and people were healed, that's the same result that happens with Christ. Amen? And then it said, verse 15, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Then we know this scripture so much. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Now we see that God not only is a teacher, but he is a giver. All right? The Bible says God is a God that will give us all. He gave us his Son already. He's not going to withhold anything else from us. Right? Now that doesn't mean we were watching a Christmas movie and they thought this house was an angel house and whatever they asked for, they would get. And one kid was like, I asked for $1 million and I didn't get it. Right? That's because he asked with the wrong attitude. He asked with the wrong heart. There was one kid that came, he was an orphan kid, and he was like, I just want a bike. You know, I would love to get a bike. And a lady that we found out later in the movie, she goes and gives him a bike to the orphan, you know, and that was good. And they're like, how did that happen? You know, but just like when, have you ever gave a gift to somebody and they were so excited about receiving it? Like, I can't believe you gave this to me. This is so cool. And sometimes they'd be like, I can't take this. And you'd be like, you better take this. I don't wear it to all these stores. Better not say that to my mom because there's been some stuff. Anyway. When you are a giver, what that does is, number one, to be a giver, you have to have a relationship most of the time, some kind of relationship. Or you see a need, and that's what God does. He saw that we were in need, so he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever, what? believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This is part of believing in God. We believe that being in God and believing in God will allow us to have eternal life. All right. Then it says, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. All right. Let's see. Did I want to keep on reading there? Let me go ahead and just read to the end of 21. It says, and this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world. And see, this is why some people don't believe, because men love darkness rather than light. Okay? Because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. Okay? So we see we must believe in God to be saved, and believing in God saves us from condemnation. Okay? So what we believe about God is very important, that we believe that he saves. If we don't believe that God saves, we should quit this thing. Right? Because even Paul said, if the gospel is not true, if we're just wasting our time, then we're the most foolish of all men. Why? Because most of us go to church at least 2 times a week. We pray, we spend time praying, we spend time reading our words. Like, if Jesus didn't save us and we don't actually believe in Jesus, then it's no different than any other religion. But because we believe that our God is able to save, right? And no other religion believes that their God is able to save them from their sins. They believe that there is a God. They believe that if they do enough, they can make it on their own. But we believe that God saved us from our sins. Amen? And it's important to believe this. All right? Somebody say, all right. Let's go to Revelations chapter 20, verse 11. This is towards the end of the Bible. We're going to find out another thing about God. So in that scripture, God was a giver and God was a lover. All right. Not only was he a lover and a giver, he was a what? Teacher. Come on, y'all got to remember. God was a teacher. And it is our job to believe in him being those things. Amen. We're going to see right here, we're going to talk about God as a judge, but not just any judge, because some judges, they're not righteous judges. And we see this God as a righteous judge. All right, let's see. It says, then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened. All right. And then it says, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged. Somebody say they were judged. They were judged. Each one according to his works. All right. So when God judges, he judges each one according to their works, right? So God, he has a book out. Then it says, then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now, God is a righteous judge. Why is God a righteous judge? Because God has all the evidence, okay? And he weighs the evidence. And not only does he weigh the evidence, he says, I'll even give some people a pass if they are written in the book of life. Now, how do we get written in the book of life? We just read about it in John 3:16. Whoever believes in God, in Jesus, will be written in the book of life. They will be granted eternal life. So we see that God is a righteous judge. in this, he'll judge you according to your works. And not only that, if you are in righteous standing with him, he will give you a pass. Now, that doesn't mean, now, even after this, and this is something that, you know, some people think they just got off. Even after that, your works are still, even after you're saved, your works will still be tried. And that's a scary thing. So when you're saved and you winging it, I've been using this word a lot. You winging your salvation, you winging reading the Bible, you winging everything. When you go through that trial, you're going to get winged results. You're going to be scorched and burned like anybody made some wings. I like mine to be done, right? I don't like them to be all soft and mushy unless I'm cooking them to be soft and mushy, right? But if I'm grilling some wings, oh boy, they're good. Amen. God is good. Praise the Lord. It's making me hungry. Anyway, some of y'all looking at me like I'm crazy. Let's go to John chapter 4. So this is after John chapter 3, because 4 comes after 3, right? All right, so let's go there. This is right after Jesus talks to Nicodemus. So we're going to see Jesus doing something again here, and this is going to help us understand what we believe about God. It says, therefore, when the Lord knew that the Pharisee had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, all right? So not only was Jesus, he was doing work. Jesus was, that's interesting because nobody talks about Jesus baptizing, but we see him right here. And not only was he baptizing, he baptized more people than John. All right? It said, through Jesus, okay, then it says, though Jesus himself did not baptize, but his disciples. So what do we see here? Jesus not only was on a mission, he trained other people to be a part of the mission, right? So he's a leader, as we said again, but he also trained them because the only thing the disciples knew about water is fishing, right? They were fishermen. Now, they probably knew a little bit more, but Jesus didn't, they had to learn about what it meant to be baptized. So it says, he left Judea and departed again to Galilee, but he needed to go through Samaria. Somebody say Samaria. Sometimes we have to go through Samaria. Now, that could be a, it's not a literal place for us, but let's see what happens here. So he came to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now, Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well, and it was about the sixth hour. So Jesus was tired right there, okay? Weary. We all know what that means. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, give me a drink. For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy what? Food. Okay, so Jesus was hungry. That's why he was tired. All right, sometimes we got to eat because Jesus right here was even hungry. So what we get to see even about God is in this instance, he had some of the same things that we face, right? Even just being hungry, something as simple as that. But let's see what happens. Verse 9, then a woman of Samaria said to him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. All right? Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Now, when we look at the gift of God, he just said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Right? So Jesus is the gift. I know we're getting ready for Christmas, but Jesus explains that if you would have knew the gift of God, you would have asked me for this water. You would have asked me for it instead of me asking you for it. Right? And he said, I would have given you living water. What does living water do? It quenches our thirst. Now, you know, now we live in a day and age where people be like, oh, they're thirsty, right? That guy is thirsty. That girl is thirsty. What does that mean? Come on, you guys are going to help me out. You know what it means? You know, they have a strong desire, but when they say that lady is thirsty, that means she is desperate, right? And when you get thirsty, you are desperate. If there's a mud puddle and you ain't drank in a couple of days, you're going to drink that mud, right? And not trip about it. They'd be like, oh, that was great, right? Why? Because desperate times call for desperate measures. Now, some of us put ourselves in that desperation. I'm just going to say that. Some people that are thirsty in the world, you put yourself in that desperation place. But Jesus talks about a living water that would heal our thirst for the things of this world, that would heal, and not only heal us, it will carry us through this world, throughout this world. You think about water. Water does what to our body? Hydrates. What else does water do? Water, and it's, I always have a funny story. But we were at the clubs one night, ministering to people outside the clubs, and we were trying to tell this one guy that he needed God. And he was like, no, I don't need God. God needs me. You know, they be saying some foul stuff out there. So we were like, okay. No, we're like, you need God. Then somebody else comes outside the club, and, you know, he's in the wrong place. But God will use people other times. He'll use other people. So this guy comes up and says, you need God like you need water. And then he breaks down, your body is filled with 75% water or whatever the percentage was. And if you don't have water, you will die. And he said, you need God like you need water. And me and Chamie, we looked and said, whoa. We said, you got thunned, right? That was like, he got shocked. And he was like, no, I didn't. But even from that, it's interesting because now me and him conversate, that same guy, we conversate through text messages, and he's supposed to be trying to come visit. But it's interesting because we don't realize how bad we need water. Until you get sick, Precious. Remember last pregnancy? You were sick. Didn't know it. Just, okay, you had a lot of that, right? And we didn't know what was wrong. She goes to the doctor and they give her water. And she was fine, right? So water cleanses our body, and it'll help us hold some things down. But even in the spirit, the spiritual water, it will cleanse our spirits. It will wash us clean. Amen? Not only water cleans us. So that's what Jesus is talking about. Then he says, the woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? She's like, I want some of that. But it don't look like you got no. It doesn't look like you have any cups. Doesn't look like you have any. You didn't dig a new well. So how am I going to get this? And once again, she wanted it and she didn't understand. So what did she do? Ask. Some of us, we got to remember to ask God. If you don't understand, ask. And it says, are you greater than our father Jacob? Now she's like, hold up, man, are you better than Jacob who made this well and drank from it himself as well as his son and his livestock? Jesus answered and said to her, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. All right? The woman said to him, sir, give me this water that I may not thirst, nor come here to draw. Now she's thinking all in the what? Flesh. She's like, I want that water so I ain't got to drink water again because I don't really like water. I'm tired of drinking water. Right? Some of us be like that. I don't like to drink water. You got some Kool-Aid like that? Shoot, it sounds good. Right? But she's like, man, let me get that so I don't got to come here, because I come here every day for my water to bathe. I come here, you know, like, she's like, man, I could get rid of this job. Help me out, Jesus. And Jesus said to her, go call your husband and come here. Now, Jesus is slick, right? He didn't even say he was going to give her the water yet. He changed the subject. Anybody have people that change the subject? You got them hemmed up like, man, yeah. And he's like, oh, that was a good game last week, right? Just changed the subject. Jesus changed the subject on her. And then a woman answered and said, Why did he change the subject? Because he had to deal with this issue first. Right? Now, some people want the living water, but you can't get the living water and go back living the same way that you used to live. Right? I don't know. That was good. You can't get the living water and go back and live the same way that you did. See, this is what she was going to do. She was going to get this living water and go back to her person that she was not married with, right? To live in a lifestyle of promiscuity. Jesus had to deal with that issue before he can give her the living water. So it says, you have said well, Jesus said, when you said that you have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband, in that you spoke truly. So Jesus, not only that, Jesus, he deals with the issues of heart. God will deal with your heart issues, right? See, some people think they get saved, oh, God, forgive me of all my sins, and help me, and amen, right? They don't even know what to say. They don't know what to do. They come to church, they go to the altar, they raise their hands, they cry because they felt God. But from that point, they don't know what to do because their heart issues have not been dealt with. See, there's a difference between being sorry, because the Bible talks about godly sorrow brings forth repentance. Your sorrow means I'm sorry. I messed up. Right? I got caught. Some of them are really sorry they did it. But if they keep doing it again and again, there's no remorse for it. And see, God does not allow people to keep going back again and again to the same thing. He deals with the heart issue. This Samaritan woman had a heart issue that God had to deal with. She was thirsty. We just talked about what it meant to be thirsty in today's age. Man, she was thirsty, right? It says, the woman said to him, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Now, how many people got people in your life and they, man, I know that that's a person, that's a man or a woman of God. They'll say that to you, right? Because every time they're going through something, Precious, can you help me? I'm dealing with Monica, Annis, can you help me? Because I'm dealing with this and you, why do they call you? Because they perceive that you are a child of God. They perceive that you have gifts in God. Amen. So when you're thinking about writing gifts down, like our homework assignment, there you go. Right? But she said, I perceive you're a prophet. And then she's like, our fathers worshiped on this mountain, and she got some background in the church, obviously, right? We came to worship here. And you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship. Now, not only does she, Jesus changed the subject, now she's changing the subject, right? She's changing the subject because he done hit her. That was a one-hitter quitter, like, whoa, man, I believe you're a prophet. But let's go ahead and talk about something else, because what is going on is she's trying to dodge this thing right now. She's trying to dodge it. But Jesus hit her with another one. And Jesus actually didn't put hands on her at all, just for the record. Jesus said to her, woman, believe me. Okay, we got to believe in who? Jesus. He said, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. It's interesting we see this because some people come to church and they don't know what they worship. They don't have enough beliefs in who God is, so they just go and worship. But when you stop worshiping at church or you stop going through the motions of church, you go home and your life has no worship, because I always talk about worship being a lifestyle. Worship is not coming to church and singing this great grand song that makes you feel good, that when you sing it, it cries. That's emotions. God can hit your emotions, but God is more than an emotional God. Right? God is not just an emotional God. What is an emotional God? Oh, I'm up and I'm down. Right? That's an emotion. One day, I'm excited. I want to step out. You know, I got my new clothes on. I'm ready to get it. Somebody step on my shoes. Oh, man, mud on my new shoes. Dang, this person, you know. And I'm saved, so some other people might say some other things. But that's emotions. God ain't a God of emotions. God is a consistent God. God doesn't change like our emotions change. Right? Just in case you didn't know, he doesn't change. The Bible says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he said, you worship what you do not know, but we worship what we worship because for salvation is coming of the Jews. Let me read that again. You worship what you do not worship. I'm sorry. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship. So do you know what you worship? We're talking about believing. When you have to know who you worship and what you worship. Some people worship so many things, they don't know what they worship. People worship cars. They worship cash, money, women. You know, they worship all these different things. And then when it comes to God, they say they believe in God, but they don't worship God. Why? Because God gets 5 minutes. People worship TV, their favorite TV show. It might call for an hour. And then that special might be a 2-hour special. And you just look at, oh man, that was cool. You know, like you so glued in, but God get 5 minutes. Right? Because they don't know what they worship. For salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming. Somebody say the hour is coming. And now is. So not only did he say it was coming, he's like, it's right here. Right? It's right here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. Somebody say, I must worship in spirit and truth. So he talked about being born of the Spirit. So we must worship in spirit. That's a part of the production of the Spirit. Our spirit's production should be worshiping God. That's why you can't live in the flesh, because when you live in the flesh, you're no longer worshiping God. You're now worshiping yourself or the enemy, straight up. All right. And it said, the woman said to him, I know the Messiah is coming, who is called the Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. Now she's doing another switch up. He's like, man, Jesus didn't hit her up. She's like, well, I know the Messiah is coming. He'll explain that to me. And Jesus said, and for some people that don't believe that Jesus said that he is the Christ, he said, I who speak to you am he, right? In other words, oh, the Messiah will come. I'm him. That's me. You know, that's me though. You know, like you looking for him. That's me. I'm him. All right. Then I'm going to paraphrase some stuff. The disciples after that came. And remember, I was talking about Jesus being hungry. He was fed, but he didn't have natural food. The disciples like, who came and fed this dude? Because after that, the disciples come, and you can go read it later, because I can read this whole chapter, but I won't. But the disciples are like, who fed Jesus? We went, Jesus put us on a 5-mile run to get him some fish and bread, because we never see Jesus eat nothing else, right? We like, man, we had to go cook it, because, you know, the Israelites didn't eat raw food, right? We had to go cook it. We had to get it. Like, man, we come back and Jesus is talking about he's not hungry. He said, I already ate. Right? And then the disciples is, who gave him some food? But, and I want to read this scripture because this is a powerful scripture. It says in verse 32 of that same chapter, I have food to eat of which you do not know. And then in verse 34, he says, Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Again, he said, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. So, and he goes on and talks, but this is how Jesus lived in the spirit. All right. He lived in the spirit because he actually even ate spiritual food. If we want to know how we can eat in the spirit, it's to do the will of God. Anybody ever preached or prayed and did something and you knew it was what God was and you could do that and not even worry about eating? Like even in a natural, there's some things you can do. Like I love music. I can be in a studio and not eat and just still be going and be like, oh, I'm loving it. Monica, you can be acting, right? And just be at the acting theater for all day. You ain't ate yet. You might be a little bit hungry, but you're like, man, I can do this. I'm feeling good. Why? Because you are feeding yourself. But in the spirit, we must allow what we do to feed. We must be fed by doing the will of God. I'm sorry. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to stop there because that was a lot that we learned about who God is. But even in that chapter, God, through Jesus, reveals himself as the Messiah, right? He said, I'm the Messiah, I'm the Christ. And he also revealed that he was like us being hungry, but he showed us how we can eat in the spiritual. Amen? And it's important because sometimes we get so caught up in the natural, oh, I'm about to go home and eat. But how many of us are feeding our spirit, man? We got to feed this spirit. Amen. Not only that, we saw that Jesus in that chapter was. He dealt with the matters of the heart. After that, see, some people would think that story is over. But after that, this woman received that living water and went and told everybody about it. And people got saved. People got healed. People got delivered through this lady receiving God. Amen. So that's what we're going to talk about. Let's go ahead and stand up. Heavenly Father, I just thank you, dear God, for your word. Dear God, I thank you for even the things that I wasn't planning on saying and the things that you allowed to be spoken through me. Oh, God, I pray, dear God, that you be glorified. Oh, God, that we understand who you are. Dear God, as vast as you are, even these things that we get to see, allow us to apply them to our lives and live to glorify you, God. We thank you, dear God, for each and one, every one of us. Dear God, we pray to God by understanding what we believe, we will be able to share it with others, who you are and why you are our God. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Let the church say, amen, amen. Give the Lord a hand. Come on. Hallelujah.
Thank you for spending time with us here at New Creation Christian Center. Feel free to join our worship services on Saturday at 7 p.m. and Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington, 98118. Visit our website, newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.